Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we have things ready to go here. We've got fresh home improvement information. We've got some great emails coming in from all over the country, and we're also going to be talking to a lot of people that have a few challenges around their home. Does that sound familiar? All of us have something written down on the front of our refrigerator, that list you have, and you're not sure how to approach it. Hey, we're going to give you some information that'll help you know exactly how to approach each and every project that you might be tackling around your home. Hey, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about, still a bit of a mystery out there about LED bulbs. They're great, but Joe, they tend to be a little quirky when you're trying to dim them down.
Well, whenever you have a transition from one technology to another, like incandescent or halogen to LED, there's going to be a little bit of a problem until they figure it all out. But there are solutions to those, and we're going to introduce some of those ways to avoid those problems coming up.
I'm going to also share with you a very simple thing that you can buy that'll make gathering those leaves a lot easier, because even if you wear gloves, it's just not a lot of fun stooping over, grabbing those leaves and disposing of it. We've got a very easy solution to that. Wood paneling. You know, there's a lot of, we used to call them the dark dens of the 70s, and how it was such a tradition to have that paneling, you know, with the grooves and so forth in there. But I'll tell you, there's some really nice looking paneling out there that if you revitalize it a little bit, it looks pretty good, but sometimes it kind of almost needs a bit of a moisturizer, it seems.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is, if it is dark, and most of them were, people, they don't really mind the paneling so much as the darkness, right? So there is a way to lighten them up with a coat of paint, or if you want to go over them completely, you don't always have to remove them. There's lots of different options, but there are, you're right, Danny, there are plenty of homes built in the 70s and 80s even that still have paneling up. And I remember going into the home center and seeing a whole, like a half a row full of lots of different paneling. I don't know if they even sell paneling in home centers anymore. I'm not even sure.
I don't know. But
I don't think they do.
Yeah. What did happen? I mean, I know it's not as popular as it once was, but it's many options if you're building a building and you don't want to, you know, deal with drywall.
Right.
And you nail it up and you're done. There's a lot of applications for that. I mean, you know, sheds or a basement area or a certain thing. So
It was also a really quick and affordable way to create wainscoting.
Exactly.
Chop it down and go 3 feet across and cover a lot of ground really quickly and very affordably.
Absolutely. Very easy to install as well. Hey, this is the time of the year where icicles are forming everywhere. That's not a good thing if it's hanging off your eave area. And, of course, the icicle king, of course, is Joe Truini, who's lived...
Does that title come with a sash? I've always wanted a sash.
Yeah, you get a little sash. And the crown's really cool, but it melts really fast.
It melts. You have to only wear it in a freezer.
Exactly. Hey, Joe, what about a simple solution this hour? What do we have?
Okay, you ever try marking and drawing out a perfectly round circle and it's too large for your compass? Well, I have a trick for doing that and it comes out perfect every time.
Oh, that's great. That's great, because a lot of times, you know, you try to use a paint can or something round.
Right,
Sometimes you just can't find something the right size. So we look forward to hearing all about that. So a lot of things are happening. But one of the things I thought would be interesting is if we, I did a segment years ago on the CBS Early Show about life expectancy of different appliances, and
right.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that particular segment when I was doing it on the early show, they were going through some changes there and trying different hosts, you know, to see if they would work with the audience. And I think an odd choice to try out for that slot was Jim Nance, and everybody knows Jim Nance from
golf.
Doesn't
he on TV?
Especially
football?
Golf. Yeah. He's fantastic on announcing golf. But anyway, so Jim and I did this segment and. Well, let me just say, I did the segment and Jim listened, because he really wasn't sure what to ask or what to do, but I powered through there and everything. But I thought we would engage our great engineer, Dennis Gould, on a little question and answer thing here. So,
all right.
So Dennis, there's no penalties or rewards for or any of these questions, but it's just one of those things. And also, you know, it kind of begs, it always have a lot of conversation where people say, do things last as long now as they used to? Because when you talk about these life expectancy of different things in your home, I'll give one away right now. Let's see. Water heater, you know, I don't have that one. Let's see.
Well, that's an easy one then.
Yeah.
How long are you going to last, man?
So you figure like a refrigerator, and some people, well, I got a refrigerator in my garage. It's 20 years old, but the life expectancy is actually 9 to 13 years for a refrigerator. So, you know, there are exceptions. But Dennis, what would you say if I was to ask you the life expectancy of the average dishwasher?
Oh, brother. I'm going to say 7 years.
It's 9 years, so okay. a little bit longer than that. And what about a let's see, a gas oven? Now, what can happen with a gas oven? Why would there be any reason for it to fail? But what would you say the national average on a gas range is?
Gosh, when I think about
gas oven,
gas oven. Yeah. Uh-huh. The oven itself. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably less than the range part because those elements, those burners, would be like. I'm going to say 12 years.
Okay, you're right in the middle. For some reason, they have a wide span here of 10 to 18 years.
Wow.
You know, so.
Probably
you
because you can buy affordable ovens and expensive
ovens.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I remember having early apartments, you know, as a young person. And, you know, these apartments you'd have, the ovens would be like from the 40s, and they were
right.
Still working.
Yeah.
And refrigerators, too. In fact, I visit a friend of mine in Baltimore. He's got a refrigerator in his basement that he had when we were friends. When we became friends 60 years ago.
Wow.
It's down in his basement. It's where we all gather. It's full of beer. And yeah. It just hasn't been off.
And so you all sit around and reminisce, the three of you.
Yes.
I see.
That's true.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, all right, what would you think about a washing machine?
Washing machines, I would think that, you know, more wear and tear on a washing machine. I would, again... Nowadays, I would say they don't last as long as they used to, of course. I'll say 10 years.
5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Well, yeah.
That actually, I was leaning that way, but I was being hopeful.
Yeah, it's really, really, yeah. really odd. But anyway, yeah. it's very interesting to see these things. And the advantage that for homeowners is it allows you, if you're one that's a planner and wants to budget for things, you might as well look over your house. Or if you're buying a new house, ask the inspector or the existing owner how old a lot of the appliances are so that you can get an idea. Not that it's going to fail on this particular date, but it's just something that a homeowner can use to kind of budget things and plan on what they've got ahead. So just thought we would touch base on a few of those things. It reminds me of both of you know Barbara Johnson that used to work
sure.
in my office.
Right.
One wonderful, wonderful person, still a great friend of mine, worked with me for 26 years. But Barbara had this quirk about the expiration date on foods.
Right.
Now, if it says on, you know, July 18th, that is the expiration date. I'm telling you, on the morning of the 19th, it was being thrown away out of that office refrigerator because, you mean, now if you were there at 11 o'clock p.m. prior to the expiration time, it was okay. But
right.
if it hit 12:01, boom, going in the garbage can.
The way we judge it around our house is, particularly with cans, if you open the can and it goes, buh, when you open it,
right.
you probably should.
Right.
Shouldn't eat it.
not a good sign at all. Well, anyway, we just thought we would touch base on a little bit of that. Joe, how about that wood floor project you were talking about, fishing all of those long boards up in that second story
yeah.
window? Of course, I know what you're doing. It's just like a squirrel getting their all of their food together and the bear getting their food together.
Right, right.
You're getting all of your projects, yeah, fed into the house since you probably got a pile of snow out in your yard right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we do. We had 18 inches of snow recently here in western Connecticut. Yeah, I just have all the wood. Well, first of all, whenever you're installing a wood floor, you should always acclimate the wood. the flooring mm-hmm. to the room, you know, to temperature and humidity and everything else. So you should never bring in flooring and immediately put it down. And even if you buy flooring that comes wrapped in packages, and oddly enough, they always say the manufacturers recommend not tearing open the package. Now, I'm not sure how it acclimates when it's wrapped in plastic, but whatever. That's what they seem to think that's the best thing to do. So always let the flooring sit in the room for the recommended period of time. In this case, I have bare boards of pine, and you know, they came out of a lumber yard and it was probably a little damp, so I've had it sitting around for about 2 weeks, and now I'm installing it, and it's about 400 square feet, so I'm slowly making my way across the room.
Oh boy, there you go. That's going to be a beautiful, beautiful floor there, and one that's going to last for a long, long time. And pine,
longer than Dennis's refrigerator.
That's right, yeah. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're just getting started on this hour, and coming up, you're going to hear a lot of information that I guarantee you you can use. That's what we do here at Today's Homeowner. You're at the right place to get the most current home improvement information, keeping it very practical, keeping it very realistic, and you're able to engage with us very, very easy. 800-946-4420 is the phone number that you can reach out to us, or how about sending us an email right now, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Get ready. We're going to share with you a lot of information, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Boy, it's always great to be with you each and every week, and it's also a very nice thing that we have radio stations all over the country, 318 stations right now, and we love every one of them, including KHMO AM 1070 in Hannibal, Missouri.
And a special shout out to brand manager Harold Smith. Thank you, Harold, for putting us on the air there. Hannibal is located in northeastern Missouri, right on the Mississippi River. It is best known as the childhood home of Samuel Langhorne Clemens, better known, of course, as Mark Twain. And it's the setting of Twain's two most famous novels, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And Hannibal, Danny, is also the hometown of William Powell Lear, who is the founder of Learjet.
I assume it was.
Which is interesting enough, but he's also the inventor. Listen to this. He's the inventor of the car radio. He was the first person to invent the car radio. And then several years later, he invented the 8-track cassette player.
Come on.
You remember that? The 8-track? Yeah, we're giving our age away a little bit here, but we used to have 8-track players in our car.
That's two inventions that completely changed the world. Can you imagine?
That's right.
Without it, all the years, even when you had the old-timey radios dialing it in, that's great. Well, a special hello to everybody in and around Hannibal, Missouri. We appreciate you being with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio, and we'd love to help you out on anything that you might be dealing with, and we make it as easy as we can. All you have to do is call us at 800-946-4420. That's the Today's Homeowner hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your opportunity to leave us any kind of question, comment, or a tip that's worked well for you. We'd love to help you any way we can. Emails are truly welcome at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to head up to Illinois and talk to Chuck. Chuck, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about the LED lights here. You've installed a few of them, having a few little problems with them. They're a great way to go, but they are a little quirky. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, I installed 10 what they call wafer lights, LED wafer lights, in my daughter's dining room, and I put control them from three different places. I have a four-way switch, a three-way switch, and a three-way dimmer. And I, the first dimmer I put on was a 150-watt dimmer for LED, 150-watt LED, and it was flickering. So I thought maybe it wasn't heavy enough, so I got a 300-watt LED dimmer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it worked about the same. So neither one of them worked very well. They both flickered, and they're both name brand lights. They weren't cheaper ones. They were the nicer ones. So that's my problem.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, when the transition took place, which took a little while from incandescents and moving into LED, it took a little while because the darn LEDs were so expensive. Now that they've gotten more reasonable and more of the mandates in phasing out the incandescents, these are some of the little points of learning curve that a lot of us have gone through on these. Joe, what do you think on this? Is it the bulb or is it the dimmer you think that Chuck's having trouble with?
Yeah, Chuck, I'm not exactly sure why this is happening in your home, but I do know that LEDs, there has been a tendency of them to flicker or even dim down and then get bright again when there are voltage fluctuations within the system, within the electrical wiring system. And they can occur when electrical loads get turned on and off, which creates these fluctuations, such as there's a thing called inrush current, which you may have heard of. It's when certain appliances kick on the motor, you know, refrigerator, freezer, clothes, dryer, that kind of thing, and it causes a voltage drop. And that in itself can cause the lights to flicker a little bit. And plus LEDs, these lights are operated by, they have electronic drivers in them, and these drivers are susceptible to what electricians call noise, and noise is nothing more than these fluctuations, voltage fluctuations. So, okay, so let's say that's it. What do you do about it? Well, that, not being a licensed electrician, I'm not really sure. You can call an electrician and tell them, listen, I think it's because of these fluctuations in the voltage is causing this flickering, and he may be able to tell you something. I mean, I'm not sure, but that's... I know all of what I just mentioned does happen because of fluctuations. Are there other reasons? That I'm not sure of.
All right.
I wonder if it's loaded up just a little bit too much in terms of that particular circuit. You have 10 LEDs, but you almost wonder what else is on that particular circuit that may be, working against you on that. So there again, an electrician, or if you're comfortable with electrical, to really diagnose how much is on that particular circuit, it may indicate that a load, you know, like a refrigerator kicking on and affecting it, or something along those lines that might be doing that. So it might be something to dig into to really track that exact circuit and how much is on there.
That sounds like a plan. I'll try that, see what happens. Thank you very much.
Hey, our pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We got a lot of issues on LEDs over the years, but I think they're about to get them figured out, and thankfully they were able to drive that cost down. I remember seeing one of the first LED floodlight bulbs that I have, that I first saw, and so I asked the person that sent it to me, you know, because they wanted it to be on the show. I said, by the way, what's the retail price on it? Kind of silent. Hello?
That's always a bad sign.
We're introducing this at $65. Is that like a 10-pack? No, that's just one. Wow. Good luck on your success with that. Dennis, what you got?
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, with certain electronics that I use in my studio and here, sometimes when you do have those power fluctuations, I hope Chuck is still listening, you can get a power conditioner. Huh. That will help that. And I was just looking it up. I'm not sure. It must affect lighting probably easier than it does with sound equipment and things like that. So I think that would be a good thing to, maybe he could Google that or even ask an electrician about a power conditioner.
There you go. Great suggestion on that, because that can kind of even out everything a little bit. And there's so much happening in today's home with the electronics and all of the different signals and the wireless. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. I still don't know how they can figure out how to isolate the frequencies for like a garage door. You still expect to turn, try to turn on your TV and your garage door goes up and down. So who knows on who knows.
Well, remember they used to, when they first came out, the first two or three generations of garage door openers, thieves used to drive around neighborhoods just pressing buttons on their garage, and they would sooner or later find a garage door that would open because it didn't have unlimited codes. Yeah. And so they started a technology, I think it was called rolling code, where it actually, every time you use your garage door opener, it rolls the code over that only your, supposedly, only your remote will open the door. But who knows? Yeah. But with these LEDs, they forced this technology, and you have to do it, into the existing systems we had for electrical lighting, and whatever problems crop up, they just solve them as they go along. Remember, they used to not be dimmable at all.
Right.
And they realized, well, that we aren't going to sell many of these if we can't dim them because they're so darn bright. So they'll work through it. I think you're right. They'll work through it, and pretty soon we won't be getting any calls, I suspect, on problems with LEDs.
But it is interesting when something changes like that, because that's a big deal when you start hearing that the government or different regulations are going to phase out incandescent lights. You go, wait a minute. Now, how can they do that? Give us a choice, but you can't. But then, it's all about saving energy and saving energy as an entire country and so forth. And so it's been kind of funny how they've gone along with that. Just like going back to the toilets that, the 1.6-gallon toilets versus the 3-gallon. Now, when you look back on it, you go, hey, this works fine. I mean, first generation didn't work out very well, just like LEDs now. And so it becomes, after a while, does take a lot of years, it becomes somewhat mainstream for American homes.
Right. Our kids aren't going to be growing up with incandescents. They won't even know they existed.
That's
probably.
Right.
So, our grandkids, so it won't even be an issue.
All right. We're getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. Got a lot of information to share with you, including a way that you can collect those leaves a lot easier. And you'll have to see a picture of what I'm about to describe to you here in just a little bit, because it's kind of funny. Also, if you've got some paneling or wood or cabinets in your house, it seems just like they've kind of lost their luster a little bit. We've got some suggestions on how to revitalize that and make it look a lot better, and it's a lot easier than you might think. All of that and more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Call today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tite Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the show, where it's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, where doers get more done. Now, if you're like me, raking leaves and gathering the leaves, though it can be satisfying to see what it looks like from start to finish, it's still kind of an aggravating process, especially picking all of those leaves up. So, we've got something that here to help you out a little bit. I mean, the raking is tedious enough, but then there's all the bending and stooping to pick up all of the leaves and get them into some kind of container to dispose of them. It's a dusty, dirty job that seems to take forever. Well, that frustration was the inspiration for the Effortless Leaf Collector. They're sold in pairs, and while they may look a little bit like an oversized frog feet when you use them together, they make the chore of picking up leaves much easier and much more effective, because you're able to pick up a lot more leaves with every scoop. They're less bending, less effort, and less time scooping, and it means you can have a little time to do something else. And you know what? I'll bet you have one of your children in the home that would love to put the old frog feet on and help you out. It's called the Effortless Leaf Collector, and you can check it out right now and order a pair at HomeDepot.com. You've seen something very similar to that.
It's like mittens. They just fit on like giant mittens.
You kind of slip your hands into them. You can have your gloves on while you use them, but it just allows you to scoop it up very well. Actually, I was one of the segments on our television show, our Best New Product segment there, was done by Jody. Of course, has been done by Jody Marks for many, many years, and in her presentation on that is kind of funny. She said, you know, when I rake the leaves and I get out there and I'm you know, having to pick them up, it's not a lot of fun. Did I mention I have two dogs? And so she was like, oh, even gloves aren't going to help you on that. So
that's right.
So having the effortless leaf collector handles there might be just the solution. She was very enthusiastic about it. Let's head to Michigan right now. Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure. Love your show, and more so, I love your southern drawl that's so full of peace of mind and reassurance.
Wow, that's a great way to start a call. I appreciate that. We have a lot of fun with it, and of course, we have the other accent with Joe Truini to kind of balance it all out there, don't we?
Yeah, I didn't say anything about his.
Yeah, Mark, you now have to call every week. Danny's going to make sure you call every week.
Exactly. I'm glad you did call, though, Mark, because when you're talking about paneling in homes, there's still so many millions of homes that have paneling of some kind. Tell us what's going on in your home.
Well, I have a lot of oak paneling that we put up a long time ago, about 40 years, and certain areas of it has literally just lost the color. And I was looking at trying to find a way to put some color back in those areas, but not having to redo the whole thing, but I knew you guys would have the answer.
Well, it can be a little tricky. Now, I assume when you're talking about paneling of that age, would it be the sheets of paneling, like the 4x8 sheets of paneling,
yes,
with the vertical grooves in them?
Yes, that's okay. It, exactly.
All right. Well, you know, of course, when they're manufactured, they're stained, they're coated, and naturally, after over the years, that coating can start kind of evaporating, wearing off, or whatever. And you know, aggressive cleaning of it. Sometimes the UV damage that you have will break it down a little bit. But to match that stain, like matching any situation with cabinetry and so forth, to come back in with a stain to try to, you know, even out those areas can be really tricky. So what do you think about some of the, like, English oil or
right,
some of the things like that to kind of, you know, again, always talk about, like, moisturizing it like you would your car dashboard. But what do you think? Should that be the first step for Mark?
Well, yeah, the first thing you have to do, obviously, is clean it before you put anything on it. And you might discover just cleaning it, you know, brightens it up a little bit. And you could use like Murphy's oil soap, anything that's used on a wooden floor. We often talk about a series of products from, what's that product? Rejuvenate, I think is the name of
that company. Yeah, Rejuvenate from Bona.
From Bona, B-O-N-A. They have a whole line of wood cleaning products. And I think they certainly have ones for flooring, which you can use on the wood paneling. And so now you'd have to be I wouldn't use anything too abrasive because this is probably a veneer. It's not solid wood paneling, so it's probably a thin veneer over plywood or masonite. But I would start with a good cleaning. If you wanted to just try a diluted white vinegar in water, I mean, that would work as well. Otherwise, I think I'd get a commercial wood floor cleaner and use that. And once that's clean, then you can get a wood oil and, you know, there's lots of different types out there that are just made for revitalizing wood.
Yeah, we've done a lot with the Murphy's oil soap. We've cleaned it, you know, over the years. But
right,
this is literally, there's no pigment left there.
I wonder if you've removed it all. I mean, you could try, you could step up to something like TSP, which we usually recommend for cleaning any surfaces prior to painting. And that would clean the surface really well. My only concern was, is it going to make it more dull? But if it's the last resort, I guess I would do that. What is the ultimate goal? To revive it to its original color? You're not looking to change the color, right?
No, I'm not looking to change the color. Just put some. It's like the wood grain. You can still see it, but all the color is gone. So I didn't know if I should, you know, apply a sealer and then try to match the stain.
Well, I think it would actually be the opposite of that. And here's something that I've tried before, is to go and, first of all, take a picture of what you want it to look like, whatever the kind of undisturbed area is. Take that with you to the home center. And then buy three or four of the little tiny cans of stain. Right. And then you can come back and kind of real carefully open one, and then just take a little rag in a kind of out-of-the-way area where you're having this issue, and then just put that on the actual paneling and see if it's compatible. And I think by the time you play with two or three of those stains, you'll find one that is pretty close that you can very carefully kind of blend that in and just step back with some good lighting and look at it. And then after you get it blended in well, let it dry sufficiently. Then if you come back over it with a polyurethane, then you've locked that in and saved it for another 40 years.
No, that's what I needed to hear, Danny.
Okay, Mark. Well, thanks so much for being with us. But just try some of those little cans. You'll be surprised. It's almost kind of fun experiment to blend that in. And just think about how proud your wife will be when you complete this project.
Oh, I'm going to be a star.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Mark. Love talking with you, and hope to talk to you again.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. I'll tell you, that was a wonderful call. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening to us each and every week. We're going to do our best to solve any problem that you may be facing around your home. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Trevini, and you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime. 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Update old dull tiles in kitchen backsplashes or bathroom showers with the Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit from Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on a premium stone or porcelain finish that's waterproof and durable. Plus, it resists mold, mildew, and cleaning chemicals. The kit has everything you need, and right now, it's under $100 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit today. That's D-A-I-C-H Coatings.com.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And, you know, so many things to do with home improvement have to do with the weather. I know about 20-something years ago, I started as the home improvement expert for the Weather Channel and still continue to do that today. And so many times, it's so easy to relate things that you have going on at your house with what's happening with the weather. And right now we have Mike from Illinois with a kind of a unique problem that happens this time of the year in Illinois.
Hi there. Well, it's about 5 below just outside of Chicago, and I'm looking at icicles outside my window. I tried knocking these down yesterday, but the question I have is icicles and their formation. Is it because you don't have enough insulation, and why is it that they appear in some areas of the roof and not others, and what do you do about it?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, over the years, I haven't had that much of a challenge here in the Southeast and to the Deep South, but the Icicle King himself, we'll bring him in right now. Joe Truini can tell you exactly what's going on. What is it? What's happening, Icicle King?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's an honorary title, Mike. Danny doesn't get many icicles in South Alabama. Imagine that. But you mentioned one of the causes, and actually you also answered part of your other question is why they appear in one place and not the other. The two most common reasons that icicles appear is because of insulation and ventilation. You have to have the correct amount of insulation and you have to have ventilation, because if what happens is as snow falls on your roof, it warms up during the day, or the temperature is high enough. Or if you have bad insulation, heat, if you don't have enough insulation, heat is rising from the home. But in any case, it's warming the underside of that roof, and a little bit of snow will melt down. Sometimes you don't see it because it's melting under the blanket of snow, but it melts down the roof. And it would be great if it went into the gutter and drained out. But what happens is when it hits the eave is overhanging the house. So of course, there's no insulation, and it's very much colder than the rest of the roof, so it starts to freeze. And then what happens is it fills the gutter, drips over the gutter, causes icicles, and in extreme cases, it can start, the icicles will form and the ice will form in the gutter so much that it forms a dam, meaning water cannot flow over the ice, and it starts backing up the roof, which is an ice dam, and then that water, of course, will leak into the house. So there's a lot of reasons why icicles, although as beautiful as they are, you don't want to see icicles hanging off your house. And of course, Mike, there's the other problem is if they're hanging over a doorway, and first they could fall off and possibly injure someone, but more importantly, they melt onto the step. They freeze at night. You walk out in the morning, and it's incredibly slippery. And I've seen a lot of people fall because of that. They clean the steps. They thought it was clean, but of course, the icicles drip water and it freezes overnight. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to check, make sure you have enough insulation in your attic. We always say, no matter where you live in the country, hot or cold weather, you should have anywhere from 14 to 16 inches or so. But you also want to make sure it's not jammed in so tight at the eave that it's blocking any air from going up through the soffit vents and up into the attic where it can escape. So that's basically what you need to do, is increase the insulation and the ventilation. And the other thing, I'll tell you what I do here in Connecticut, is I went out, and I recommend this, Mike, I went out and bought a roof rake, and I rake the snow off the roof. As soon as there's more than about 4 inches of snow, I get out there, and it's very satisfying, by the way, and I pull the snow. It's basically just a aluminum blade, looks like a piece of metal about 4 inches, 5 inches high and 2 feet long. It's got a long handle, has a little rollers on the bottom so it don't hurt the shingles. Just pull the snow off the bottom 3 or 4 feet. And eliminating that snow eliminates the water that could back up the roof. So those are the three things you need to do.
Yeah, that's a tough thing because I'm in a two-story house.
Right.
And getting up on a ladder in these conditions is pretty treacherous.
You don't want to do that. But I can tell you, I bought one online. It's from a company called Garelick, I think. It's like G-A-R-E-L-I-C-K, Garelick. And it comes with, I think, a 16-foot handle. Each section's about 4 feet long. You snap it together. And I bought two or three extra sections. You can buy extra 4-foot sections. And I can reach way up on my roof. It's got to be, you know, almost 20 feet, 25 feet from the ground. Yeah, now do not get on a ladder.
Isn't it top-heavy, though, when you get that high?
You know, it's all aluminum. It's relatively light. And once it sits on the roof, you're not actually holding it up. You're just pulling it down. Don't pull it off the roof. You just pull it and the snow will come off and roll it back up the roof.
That's true. So if I want to beef up the insulation, should I use blow-in or bat or a combination?
Well, I would prefer the bats because it's very easy to install yourself. Got unfaced bats, just carry it up there and lay it perpendicular to the joist and fill in as much as you possibly can.
Okay, okay. And how often should you re-insulate an attic?
Well, I don't think you ever have to re-insulate an attic. Sometimes with blown in, you have to insulate if it compacts, if it settles down too much and it doesn't have any air, because it's the air that actually forms the insulation.
Okay, okay.
All right, so get to work, Mike.
I got my work cut out.
And also, Mike, as a byproduct of it, you're going to be saving money on your energy bill summer and winter if you're adding that insulation there. Because we always say adding insulation to your attic really is about the best return on your home improvement dollar that you can do. So that'll be a side benefit for all of that. Mike, thanks so much for being with us on the show, and hope you have a great weekend.
All right, thanks. You too.
All righty, thank you. All right, Joe, you always you mentioned that you rake.
Right.
You mean Marla rakes. You mean you get...
No, that's a job
get,
I do, believe it or not.
Right?
I actually enjoy it. I love pulling that snow off my roof.
Huh. There you go. Well, but you're pulling it off on top of your head. Is that correct? Or you're pulling it off in front of you?
No, I'm standing back pretty far.
Okay, that's important there. All right, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Coming up, one of the most favorite parts of the entire hour. And that's when Joe shares another simple solution with us. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Glad you're with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call today's Homeowner Radio anytime. 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Titebond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Titebond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Hey, so glad to be with you here on the show each and every week. And I'll tell you what, if you're, you know, experiencing a lot of bad weather and maybe you're inside a lot wondering what to do, I'll tell you a way that you can not only use up a little bit of that time, but gain some tremendous home improvement knowledge is head over to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. What you'll find there is over 560 second simple solutions of some of the most common things that you run into around your home. These are tips and tricks to really help you out on some of these simple things. Matter of fact, Joe Trevini has one for us right now.
Well, one of those tricks, Danny, is how do you draw a perfectly round circle when it's larger than your pencil compass? Of course, if you have a need to draw a circle that's maybe, what, 6 or 8 inches, 10 inches in diameter, you can usually use a pencil compass. But for a large circle, I had to draw in recently, I think it was 20 inches in diameter. So what do? Well, you use a wooden yardstick. And here's how. Start by drilling a small diameter hole through the 1-inch graduation. And it needs to be maybe an 1/8 inch in diameter, maybe slightly larger. But drill it through the 1-inch diameter. And that hole will serve as the pivot point, right? Then you drill the next hole through the yardstick 1 inch beyond whatever your desired radius is. So in this case, I wanted to make a 20-inch circle, so the radius is 10 inches. So I drilled another hole, same size hole, at the 11-inch graduation. And it's 11 inches, of course, because the first pivot point is at 1 inch. So 1 from 11 is the 10-inch radius that you need. Anyway, so you just use an awl or a screw or whatever and secure the pivot point on your workpiece, then put a pencil in the other hole, and you basically just swing it around in a circle. And there's a video that's online right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple-solutions showing a video of me doing this exact technique. And you just swing it around and end up with a perfect circle every time. And of course, you can then drill as many holes as necessary for depending on the diameter of the circle.
And you'd be surprised how many times when you're really doing some home improvements or maybe you're doing a little work around your shop, building a few things here and there, that a radius is really important in being able to have right. that perfect circle. And, you know, we've talked before about if you got a paint can, you know, or if you got anything that's round and that you can use to create the radius. But something that's like you're dealing with there that's 20 inches wide, I'm not sure. I don't know, garbage can maybe. I don't know what else you could do. But this, and also, if you're talking about a precise measurement, that simple solution will allow you to hit it exactly what you need.
Right. And you often may have seen people use a string, but strings stretch a little bit. And I used to use a string, but you start off in one part, and you go. By the time you get to the starting point, it's like, gee, what happened? Well, the string stretched out a little bit. And it's not only for whole circles, by the way. I've used this for arcs and half circles and, you know, any part of a circle. It doesn't always have to be a full circle.
Yeah, because that like you say, the string stretches when you're doing that, but also you're having the challenge of keeping that pen or pencil exactly vertical as you're moving it around like that. So there's a lot of challenges in being able to do that. Another example of how a simple solution can make life a little easier and solve a lot of problems or challenges that you may be facing. That's what we do all the time here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Now, if you're listening right now to a station that doesn't carry our second hour, well, that's okay. You can find out what we're going to talk about on the second hour of Today's Homeowner Radio by heading to todayshomeowner.com/radio. And we always like to remind you about our podcast. And thank you if you're one of the thousands and thousands of people that listen to our podcast. We appreciate it. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.